Christ is risen. And that beautiful phrase, he is risen indeed, is exactly how the King James and the Revised Standard Versions of the Bible translate today's gospel from St. Luke. It's chapter 24, verse 34. Even though some of the women saw angels who told them that Jesus was alive, Cleopas and the other disciple were not going to Emmaus full of joy and excitement that Jesus Christ had truly been raised from the dead. They were downcast, discouraged, depressed, disappointed. They were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke concerning the resurrection of Jesus. They clearly thought the resurrection of Jesus was fantasy, fiction, fake, and false. They thought it was pretend, make-believe, some cleverly concocted myth. They thought the women were dreaming and hallucinating, sad victims of their overactive imaginations that resulted only in mirages and optical illusions. But once our risen Lord made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread, Cleopas and the other disciple returned immediately to Jerusalem and found the 11 apostles, who told them, "The Lord has appeared to Simon. It's really true. He is risen indeed." Today's gospel story, nicknamed the Road to Emmaus, is my favorite resurrection appearance of the risen Lord Jesus. Only St. Luke, the artist, paints this picture for us and records it in his gospel. On Easter Sunday afternoon, two disciples, Cleopas and another unnamed disciple, we're going to a little town called Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. To put it into perspective for you, that's about the distance between Owatonna and Medford, 7.5 miles. Or if you prefer, it's the distance between Owatonna and Hope, 8.3 miles. So imagine walking to Medford or to Hope. Now, there is a very important detail not mentioned in today's gospel, but it would have been obvious to everyone at the time. Do you know which direction Emmaus is from Jerusalem? Is it north? South? Nope. East? Just testing you. Or west? Which direction is Emmaus from Jerusalem? This detail is so important, it tells you everything you need to know about the gospel. Lock in your answers. Emmaus is west of Jerusalem. Cleopas and the other disciple were walking toward the setting sun that afternoon. They were going toward the darkness. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 11, it says that Israel journeyed east to the promised land, toward the light, toward the dawn, toward the rising sun. But these two disciples were going west. On Easter Sunday afternoon, their hopes were setting, and so was the sun. The word for east in Latin, Latin 101, the word for east is orient. So to face east, like I'm facing now, is to face ad orientem, to face the light, who is Jesus. To face east, ad orientem, is to be properly oriented. But these two disciples were going west because they were disoriented. They were mourning and grieving, looking downcast like Eeyore. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. All their hopes were on Jesus, and they thought all their hopes and dreams were crushed, smashed, and shattered. But in the midst of their disorientation, in the midst of their disappointment and depression and discouragement, Jesus takes the initiative to come and walk with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Why? Haven't you ever commuted from Rochester to Owatonna in the afternoon? The sun is blinding. If you're walking into the setting sun, if you're walking west, the sun blinds you. So they can't see him. So Jesus introduces himself and he says, "Hi guys, it's me. Long time no see." No. Jesus doesn't reveal himself as yet. He asks questions. "What are you discussing as you're walking along?" And they go, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And Jesus says, "What sort of things?" He asks questions. Jesus asks the disciples of St. John the Baptist, "What are you looking for?" He asks Mary Magdalene, "Whom are you looking for?" He asks Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He asks the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" He asks the scholar of the law, when he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, what's written in the law? How do you read it?" When Jesus finishes the parable of the Good Samaritan, he says, "Now, which of these three, in your opinion, is neighbor to the robber's victim?" You see, Jesus asks questions. Just like God did in the first part of the Bible when Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, what did God say? "Get over here right now. I see you." No, God asks a question. "Adam, where are you?" Brilliant. God asks questions. No accusations. Questions. "Talk to me." Fulton Sheen, the venerable Fulton Sheen, says, "A sorrowful heart is best consoled when it expresses itself." And so they talk. And they pour out their souls to him. And after Jesus draws out all of their depression and discouragement and disappointment, our Lord opens their minds to understand the scriptures, and their hearts start to burn within them. Jesus sets their hearts on fire. That's because only the risen Lord Jesus knows how to make sense of things. Only Jesus has answers that truly satisfy us. Only the risen Lord Jesus can reorient us. Then Jesus acts as if he's going on farther because he's a gentleman. He won't force himself on us. He'll keep on going unless we invite him in. And so they say, "Stay with us. Stay with us, Lord, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. Stay with us. It's getting dark. Don't leave us now when it's dark. We're scared of the dark. Don't leave us now in our darkest hour. Don't leave us alone, Lord. Stay with us. Stay with us." And he does. And he does. He does stay with them that night. He keeps his promise, "I will be with you always." And how does he stay with them? In the breaking of the bread, in the most holy Eucharist. He took, blessed, broke, and gave it to them. All those verbs. It's the consecration. Indeed, he stays in them by giving them his body and blood. And now, after their reorientation, they immediately head back to Jerusalem, which is toward the east. You see, the Lord has reoriented them. through his word and his body and blood. It isn't surprising that they immediately head ad orientem. They immediately head to the east because they have been reoriented by Jesus, the light of the world. On our journey toward the promised land, we sometimes get disoriented. Sometimes we get disappointed or depressed or discouraged, but in our disorientation, the risen Lord Jesus takes the initiative to walk with us. And even though we can't always recognize him, he is walking with us. He's right beside us. And he asks questions. He says, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. He wants to stay with us, even in our darkest hour. Will you invite Jesus? Will you invite Jesus to stay with you during your dark time? He reorients us. That's why we come to Mass Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Every Sunday is a reorientation. Every Sunday we turn ad orientem toward the east, toward the light, toward the rising sun. He reorients us today as he does every Sunday, as he did on that first Easter Sunday. He sets our hearts on fire with his word, and then he feeds us with his body and blood. Amen.